This evening, we're going to consider our second message on the fourth commandment, to remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy. Last week, we considered the fourth commandment, the basics, and this week, we're going to consider the fourth commandment and the heart of the Sabbath, and ultimately, the principle that the Lord is ultimately revealing about himself and us and what he's looking for in the fourth commandment in our lives. We're going to primarily consider Isaiah 58, verses 13 and 14, but I'm going to make reference to Isaiah 56, verses 1 through 8, and I'm going to also read all of Isaiah 58, 1 through 14. So if you want to, please turn to Isaiah 56 if you want to follow along, or just listen as I read Isaiah 56, verses 1 through 8, and then we'll flip over to Isaiah 58. Thus says the Lord, keep justice and do righteousness, for soon my salvation will come and my righteousness be revealed. Blessed is the man who does this and the son of man who holds it fast, who keeps the Sabbath, not profaning it, and keeps his hand from doing any evil. Let not the foreigner who has joined himself to the Lord say, the Lord will surely separate me from his people. And let not the eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree, for thus says the Lord, to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, who choose the things that please me and hold fast my covenant, I will give in my house and within my walls a monument and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. And the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord and to be his servants, everyone who keeps the Sabbath and does not profane it and holds fast my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. The Lord God who gathers the outcast of Israel declares, I will gather yet others to him besides those already gathered. As you think, as I read that, I hope you notice that this is a blessing. These are blessings promised to foreigners and eunuchs, basically those who were unclean in the time of Israel to enter into the temple to worship. Really, this was a new covenant promise, a promise for our time. So listen to the time of the resurrection and ascension of Christ. Now listen to Isaiah 58, verses 1 through 14, and we're going to focus on verse 13 and 14. Cry aloud, do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their transgression, to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways, as if they were a nation that did righteousness and did not forsake the judgments of their God. They ask me of me righteous judgments. They delight to draw near to God. Why have we fasted and you see it not? Why have we humbled ourselves and you take no notice of it? Well, behold, in the day of your fast, you seek your own pleasure and oppress all your workers. Behold, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to hit and with a wicked fist. Fasting like yours this day will not make your voice to be heard on high. Is such the fast that I chose, a day for a person to humble himself? Is it to bow down his head like a reed and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will you call this a fast and a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house when you see the naked, to cover him and not to hide yourself from your own flesh? Then shall your light break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the name and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, here I am. If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness, If you pour yourself out for the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, then shall your light rise in the darkness, and your gloom be as the noonday. And the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your desire in scorched places and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. And your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in. If you turn back your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call my Sabbath a delight, and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going your own ways, or seeking your own pleasure, or talking idly, then you shall take delight in the Lord. And I will make you ride on the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, as we turn to you, seeking to hear you speak from your word, we ask that you would give us hearts that are humble, who are willing to submit to you and let you be the Lord of our whole lives, even our time. We confess that the fourth commandment, remembering the Sabbath as you have called us to do as believers in Christ, is hard, especially in our day. But Father, we pray that you would give us a growing and greater love for you and delight to seek you and to trust you and to find delight in your will for our lives, even the fourth commandment, to remember you on in your day and take delight in you, that we might be fed by you and have the joy of communing with you each Lord's day. Lord, as we look to the scriptures, open our eyes to see your truth and apply it to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Isaiah 58, verses 13 and 14, reveals what I'm calling the heart of Sabbath keeping. And that's kind of, has kind of a couple of connotations. The heart of it, the ultimate principle that overshadows all the do's and don'ts in the Sabbath, in keeping of the fourth commandment. But also the heart of Sabbath keeping is the heart that God calls us to have in submitting to him and his law out of love and gratitude for his grace. To our surprise, the heart of the Sabbath is not keeping a bunch of regulations. But most of us are filled with questions, and most of the questions I get are about what we can do and what we cannot do on the Lord's Day. And there are, I think, some clear answers, some clear descriptions of how we concretely can keep the Lord's Day. But the Sabbath is ultimately not specifically about all that we do and don't do on the Sabbath. The Sabbath is ultimately about our hearts, and it's an expression of our hearts. Our keeping of regulations will be legalism unless our heart delights in the day and really the Lord who set this day aside for communion with us. And when we love the Lord, though, we will love to do what pleases him on the day that he has claimed for himself. And we will desire the whole day that he calls us to commune and to fellowship with him. And so to summarize really the point of Isaiah 58 here, the Lord calls us to take delight in the Lord's day, and we will find true delight in the Lord himself. As we work through really the heart and the ultimate principle and point of the fourth commandment, we have four questions. And the first question is what God wants on the Sabbath. We're considering the law, and remember in the law, God requires us to do stuff and he forbids us from doing stuff. So let's see what God wants. In Isaiah 58:3, Israel asked why God did not see their fasting and why he didn't see and hear their prayers from their ceremonies that they kept. And we learn that God did not give Israel what they expected from their fasting. And so they wanted to know what God wanted from them. We've tried to do all these things that we think that you want, but you just haven't heard our prayers. So what do you want? And after the question, the Lord revealed what he wanted from them very clearly. And we must ask the same question about the Sabbath. What does God want from us on the Lord's day? And to answer that question, I have kind of a negative answer that we find in Isaiah 58 and a positive answer. Actually, the whole chapter reveals that negative answer that God does not want an absent heart on the Lord's day. That's the first fill in the blank. In verses 1 through 3, the Lord painted the picture of what we would call religious formalism. Formalism really means that you keep God's regulations on the outside, but your heart isn't involved. Actually, in the case of Israel, their hearts were not set on the Lord's will at all. They were just trying to buy God with their fasting and their worship and their sacrifices. You see, what we do on the Lord's Day can become formalism just as much as it became formalism on the seventh day Sabbath in the Old Testament. If you would rather be somewhere else than in worship, your worship is really nothing more than formalism, just external worship, not the kind of worship that God wants. Whenever we do all the right things on the Lord's Day while grumbling, we're simply being legalist. Whenever you are consumed with defining exactly what you can and cannot do on the Lord's day, that may appear to be interested in the Lord's will, but what often happens is you may have fallen into the trap of religious formalism, saying, okay, God, I'm just going to do what you want, and I want to know exactly what it is so I can just do that. But you see, God does not want external service with an absent heart. Really, what he wants from us is an engaged heart. And that's our second subpoint here about what God wants. The prophet revealed that God wants an engaged heart in verse 13. The center of the verse contains this command. Look at there with me. And call the Sabbath a delight and the holy day of the Lord honorable. You see, the Lord wants the full devotion of our hearts on the Lord's day. Now, this desire is nothing more than what we already know about God's will for our life, isn't it? The Lord commands us to love him with all of our heart. And as Christ says, all of our heart and soul and mind and strength. And so he calls you to show that complete devotion and love to him on the Lord's day when you give the Lord your time and your whole heart. Calling the Sabbath a delight, it means that we cherish the day. We must love the Sabbath like we love really those most precious things in our lives, things like chocolate or gold or our favorite hobbies or even our spouses. And plus, there's something extra special about the Sabbath that should capture our whole hearts. The Sabbath it's a day for the Lord. It's a day that God calls us to sweet communion with him. He's set apart that day for himself. And so if we love him, we must love what brings him delight on that day. And just think back to those days when your love burned fresh for your spouse. When you were together, it didn't matter that you weren't mountain biking or doing your homework or watching a movie you want or working. Nothing delighted you more than simply to be with the one you love. And that's the kind of heart that the Lord wants from us on the Sabbath day, an engaged heart, a heart that loves him, a heart that is so thankful that he's given us 6 days for our work and our recreation, and he's liberated us to come and fellowship and commune with really who should be the first love of our hearts. The Lord asks us to set aside one day each week for this sweet communion with him. And on that day, God wants our complete devotion. And actually, he reveals in Isaiah 58 right here that that going through the motions, it doesn't cut it. He's not about us just doing a bunch of things to earn some sort of credit with him. He just wants us. You know, we have this debate about quality and quantity of time with our kids or our spouses. And really, if you think about it, your kids, sometimes they just want you there. It doesn't matter that you're doing some amazing adventure or at an amazing party or something like that. A lot of times our children just want us there. A lot of times our loved ones just want us there. And that's what God, the true lover of our soul, wants. He wants our fully engaged hearts. He wants us to delight in him and enjoy him as we rest in Christ on the day that he chooses. And so that's what God wants. He doesn't want an absent heart on the Sabbath, a heart consumed with, okay, what do I have to do to get through this day? He wants an engaged heart, a heart that is engaged with loving and delighting in the Lord. The second question that we need to consider tonight is, what does God require? You see, when your heart delights in the Lord and delights to enjoy him on the Sabbath, you are then ready to ask that second question, what does he require? And he gave us the answer in verse 13. He said, if you honor the Sabbath day, not going your own ways or seeking your own pleasure or talking idly. And so I want you to just consider two categories of things that the Lord wants. And it's negative and positive. The first thing is, the Lord requires us to abandon our pleasures, our own worldly and pleasures for every day. He wants us to abandon our pleasures for one day a week. And he summarized our pleasures with three acts in verse 13. The first is going our own ways, our own ways. That word in Hebrew, way, it refers to the normal way we live our life. Many of the activities, many of the work, much of the recreation, which are lawful on other days of the week, the Lord calls us to set aside on the Lord's day. The second thing is, we are to stop seeking our own pleasure. In other words, the Lord's day is not a day for our own decision and our own plans or in our own agendas. Rather, the whole day, our whole heart, and everything we do belongs to the Lord on that day. And so the Sabbath, it's not a day to ask, it's beautiful Sunday, what do I want to do today? The Sabbath is a day to give your whole heart to the Lord's will, just for one day, and ask, what does God want me to do today? And the third category that Isaiah, the Lord, through Isaiah, includes here is talking idly. And you see that in our larger and shorter catechism on the Sabbath day. And what does he mean here when he says, not going your own ways, not seeking your own pleasure, or talking idly? Well, you see, we need to dedicate our conversations to honor the Lord's purpose for the Lord's day. And so we need to evaluate every subject of our discussions on the Lord's day. And the reason for bringing up how we talk with one another is that what we say reveals where our hearts are on that day. And you know a lot about someone by what they say. Actually, in many ways, all you can know about their heart, you can determine by what they say and what they do. And so what the Lord calls us to and wants from us is an engaged heart, and therefore what he wants to see a fruit of is talking about him and seeking him. And so the Lord's day is a day to speak about Christ. It's a day to encourage the brethren. It's a day to praise the Lord. It's not a day for idle conversation. Just like it wasn't, as we considered last week, a day to just nap the whole afternoon away, as glorious as that is so often. It's a day to set our hearts' devotion totally on the Lord, and that's displayed by the way we talk and encourage one another and minister to one another and praise the Lord. Our words reveal really the concern and the interest of our heart. But positively, the Lord requires us to seek the Lord's pleasures on the Lord's day. And we find that back in Isaiah 56, verses 4 through 5. For thus says the Lord to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, who choose the things that please me and hold fast my covenant. Ironically, the Lord uses the example of those who are unclean and unable because of their bodily mutilation to worship in the temple. He uses them as the example. He says they have the heart of keeping the Sabbath. And so we must begin the day with hearts that love God, and we must demonstrate our love and our delight in him by asking, well, how, Lord, how do you want me to spend my time today? That's the question we need to ask about what God requires that day. The pleasures of the Lord include things like, well, primarily our worship. See, when we gather together as the corporate people of God, we and worship, we glorify the Lord by setting aside one day in seven for what is called in Leviticus 23, a holy convocation. And that's a big way of saying to gather together as God's people to worship him. And when we gather in worship, the Lord proclaims his wonderful grace and glory through the scriptures. And as we saw in our little series in the second commandment, that when the scriptures are read, God's glory is declared, and he delights in that. We glorify him by listening to him speak with humble hearts that are ready to believe and obey. And we glorify him as we respond by singing praise to him before all the world. He calls us close to him as a whole body on the Lord's day. And then Christ's Spirit works in us to comfort us and to conform us into his image as he washes us with his word. He takes pleasure when we pray. And we pray to God our Father, and we pray through Jesus Christ, and that brings glory to Christ as our high priest. We praise him with thankful hearts as we sing psalms as he's commanded us. You see, worship and communion with God, these are the things that please the Lord on the Sabbath day. This is what he requires of us. And then outside of public worship, we need to spend the day, as he reveals here in verse 13, we need to spend the day remembering God's sovereign works of creation and his works of redemption and encouraging one another in them. It's a day to really set aside our own interests, our own agendas, and to give our attention to what delights the Lord our God. So what does God require? He requires on the Lord's day that we abandon our pleasures for one day of week and that we seek the pleasure of the Lord. But I want you to consider our third point, what God promises. I do remember when in my study of the scriptures and really being shepherded by my pastor, being confronted with the Sabbath day. For me, there were lots of consequences and cost to keeping the Sabbath and even just worshiping every Lord's Day. And, you know, I think that's kind of a common experience, especially when you're introduced to this part of God's reign over our life. When people first think about the fourth commandment, I think the first thing they think about is it seems like a real burden. A lot of people spend time mourning everything that you'll miss on the Lord's Day. But we must remember what Christ said about the Sabbath. He said that the Sabbath is for man, not man for the Sabbath. His words imply that there is something good for us on the Sabbath day. So we need to ask and think about what God promises to us on the Sabbath day. And we find this glorious promise here in verse 14. The Lord says, then you shall delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride on the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. It seems like you're going to lose out and you're going to miss out on everything by giving yourself to the Lord on the Sabbath as he calls us to. But what we find here is we don't lose anything by delighting in God and delighting in his will for the Sabbath. Rather, what we find on the Sabbath, what we find on the Lord's day in delighting ourselves in the Lord, is we find great blessings in Christ on that day. In Isaiah 62:4, the Lord proclaimed that we will have a new name, and the new name is My Delight is in Her. The delight of God is in her, the church. And so when we focus upon the Lord on the Sabbath, we're not left empty. We're not left lost, missing out on joy. When we focus on the Lord on the Sabbath, the Lord himself meets us, and the Lord himself gives us a joy in him. He's provided this meeting one day a week. He provides spiritual growth and strength to persevere this life to the end by simply resting in him, communing with him, fellowshipping with him one day a week. He gives to us all the blessings of the covenant of grace as we rest in him on the Sabbath. All the blessings that Christ has purchased for us are justification, adoption, sanctification, peace and conscience, perseverance to the end, increase of grace. He gives those things to us as we feed upon him, resting in him on the Sabbath. And the other thing you need to know is that the greatest blessing of the Sabbath is heaven. Because each Lord's Day, Christ gives us a taste of heaven. Heaven is our eternal rest. Heaven is our ultimate Sabbath rest. And as we wait for heaven, the Lord gives us a taste that we might experience the joy of heaven one day every week until the Lord calls us to himself. And I'd like to just read you the picture that God gave of heaven and the joy that he has for us and the rest that he has for us and the blessings that he has for us. We find it just a couple pages over in Isaiah chapter 60. Let me read this picture of heaven. And at this point, Isaiah 40 through the end of the chapter or end of the book really are about this time of the ascension of Christ and what Christ is bringing about. And so these are our promises. Whereas you have been forsaken and hated, with no one passing through, I will make you majestic forever, a joy from age to age. You shall suck the milk of nations. You shall nurse at the breast of kings. You shall know that I, the Lord, am your Savior and your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. Instead of bronze, I will bring gold. Instead of iron, I will bring silver. Instead of wood, bronze. And instead of stones, iron. I will make your overseers peace and your taskmasters righteousness. Violence shall no more be heard in your land. Devastation or destruction within your borders. You shall call your walls salvation and your gates praise. The sun shall be no more your light by day, nor the brightness shall the moon give you Nor for brightness shall the moon give you light, but the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory. Your sun shall no more go down, nor your moon withdraw itself, for the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your days of mourning shall be ended. Your people shall all be righteous. They shall possess the land forever, the branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I might be glorified. The least shall become a clan, and the smallest one a mighty nation. I am the Lord, and in its time I will hasten it. And the Lord gives us a taste of this heavenly rest every week as we rest in him. And he pours out these blessings of his covenant more and more upon us. And so Isaiah 58 teaches us about the heart of the Sabbath and leaves us with these two questions about Sabbath keeping so that we won't miss the point, but we might be directed properly from our hearts. The first question is, do you love the Lord with all your heart? And really that is a question that we have to wrestle with when you think about the Sabbath, because the Lord calls you to commune with him on the Sabbath. And so you need to ask this question honestly. And if your resistance to the Lord's day, to what the Lord commands of you to do positively and ask you to set aside negatively, if you resist the Lord's day, if it reveals a divided heart that doesn't love the Lord with all your heart, then you need to turn to the cross. You see, the love of God demonstrated for you on the cross, poured out for you on the cross, it will win your heart. So the answer ultimately to our bad attitude toward the Lord's day and our unwillingness to delight in the Lord as he's called us to one day a week, that resistance, that unwillingness is a matter of the heart. It's a matter of our love for the Lord, where we hold back our love for ourself and do not give all of our heart to the Lord. And the answer is the cross. The answer is the gospel. The answer is being reminded of God and how he poured out his love on us. That's the first question that we need to ask about the Sabbath. Do you love the Lord with all your heart? And the second question is, if you do love him, what is the Lord's pleasure on the Lord's day? That's what you ask your wife or your on your anniversary or on her birthday or his birthday. What do you want? What would bring you pleasure today? Well, every day the Lord calls you to commune with him in fellowship. And if you love the Lord, you need to ask, Lord, what is your pleasure for the day? What do you want me to do to bring you delight? Each week we need to ask these two questions as we seek to delight in his day. And each week we need to answer these questions from the scriptures, not our own wisdom or what we think is best, but we need to let the Lord speak and answer this question, what he, and explain to us what he desires on the Lord's day from his word. And so remember the heart of the Sabbath here and the point of these two verses, that you need to remember that when you delight in the Lord on the Lord's day, you can put him to test. You will find delight in the Lord himself. Let's pray. Our Father, we do turn to you now and ask for your Spirit to increase our love for you. And Father, as we do so often, and probably every one of us come and set apart the Lord's day with mixed hearts, hearts that are mourning what we can't do, hearts that are somewhat burdened and by what you call us to do, hearts that really still love the world and still love ourselves more than we love you. We pray that your Spirit might lift up our eyes to see the glory of your love in Jesus Christ. As Paul prayed, we pray that you may, your Spirit would cause us to know the length and width and breadth and depth of your love for us in Jesus Christ, so that we might find great delight in giving our lives to him fully, not just in the other areas that sometimes for us may be easier, but even in our time, in our schedules, that we might find rest as you created us on the Sabbath day. And Lord, bring the eternal rest that the Sabbath points. Bring heaven to us soon, that we might enjoy the great glory and blessing of living with you in the new heavens and the new earth, and gazing upon the beauty and the glory of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. In his name we pray. Amen.